Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Happy Saturday, everyone. Welcome to my Impact Wrestling Against All Odds post show. I'm your host, Denise Salcedo, and we are going to have a good time today. Thank you so much to everyone who is joining this stream right now. We have a pretty decent night of wrestling to talk about here today, so I can't wait to jump in to talk about the show. Honestly, it was a good time. There's going to be a lot of matches, 9 matches overall to talk about. But before I get into all of that, I just want to remind you all that if you send in any super chats throughout this entire stream, it would really help me out. It would make sure that Sean doesn't cancel the show here and I can still come on and talk about Impact Wrestling each and every single month with you guys here. So if you can, send in a super chat. I will read your comment, your question, your statement on the stream if you send in a super chat. Other than that, I thank you guys all so much for joining here today. Again, send in super chats and I will be reading them throughout the show. But we are going to recap the entire thing in chronological format in order of events that went down today. Honestly, I thought that every single match delivered something different. The only thing that I'm going to start off saying right now, even though I'm not going to talk about it just yet, was I was not a fan of the main event. I was not a fan of Kenny Omega versus Moose, but I will save my thoughts on that actual main event once we get there. But everything else, I was totally and completely a fan of. So here we go. We actually got our first super chat of the day. Thank you so much to the intangible one, Ryan B. Bad. Thank you so much to Ryan for kicking us off here. He says, the crowd for the main event sucked. They were so quiet and barely any reaction for that Moose Spanish Fly. Well, they didn't have an actual crowd. They just had some of the talent from the looks of it on the outside of the ring, but it wasn't like an actual like real crowd there. So that's probably why how you felt about that. But it wasn't even that. I just did not like the main event match, and I will talk about that once we get there. But we have another super chat. Thank you so much to Dan V900. Thank you so much to Dan, who says, I'm with Denise. The main event wasn't great. I thought the pacing was terrible. It was too slow compared to Omega Swan and Moose Swan. It was rough. Oh yeah, exactly. Thank you so much, Dan V900. Again, I know I'm going to go into detail later on, but I do want to say that I have to agree with everything that Dan V said here in this comment. If you do not agree, you can send in a super chat and tell me why you do not agree with that. But no, I completely agree with you. I think that a lot of Omega's matches and even Moose's matches have been a lot better, some of which Dan V here just shared in his super chat. So thank you so much to Dan V for kicking us off with all of that. Alrighty, guys, here we go. So let's kick things off. We are going to open, we're going to start things off with, actually, we got another super chat. Thank you so much to Kid Campbell, who says, how the hell does a five-way get ruled a no contest due to interference? Are they or are they not DQ? All right, so we're going to talk about that once we get to the match. Now, I know that nobody wanted the way that the five-way got, essentially the way that it ended. I know it's not necessarily our favorite thing. However, surprisingly, I'm not going to complain about it because I really did like the finish to that, but I will talk about that once we get to it. We have another super chat from Aiden O'Donnell who says, not to distract from the show, but you look great. Thank you so much, Aiden. So just a quick side note, guys, I got a new computer and everything looks high def and I hate it. I hate it because I don't like to see myself in high definition. So I've been putting extra makeup on to try to hide some of those flaws. So I appreciate the comment from Aiden O'Donnell for that. You're definitely making me feel a lot better than I was 2 minutes ago. So thank you so much to Aiden here. All right, so let's kick things off with the first match here. And the opening match was the Good Brothers versus Tommy Dreamer and Sami Callihan in a no DQ street fight. So I'm going to start off by being honest here. I really do think that this match could have been a lot better had they not necessarily had, I think had they actually had somebody else partner up with Sami Callihan, I thought that some other good options for his partner could have literally been like Chris Sabin or James Storm. I really thought that they could have done the same exact, bring him in the same way that they did Tommy Dreamer with this match, because unfortunately, this was your like typical every early 2000s hardcore match where there really wasn't like, it was okay. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it was not good, but it was a decent match. But really the highlight of this entire match was honestly Sami Callihan. He was the one that was just like bringing everything, bringing all the fun, bringing all like the creative usage of the weapons and really having a fun time with this match. Everything that he did with Dolph Gallows in this match, I absolutely loved. Obviously he worked more in this match with Dolph Gallows and Anderson worked more with Tommy Dreamer throughout this match. So I did kind of think that this one could have been a lot better. For the most part, it was kind of just, again, your basic early 2000s hardcore match. So some cool spots here that we had. They started off this match brawling on the outside of the ring. We saw several chair shots. Sami hits Dolph Gallows numerous times with a broom, and Sami and Dreamer bring out the trash can. So I do obviously like the fact that they brought out the weapons in this street fight. The only thing that I'm going to have to complain about with this match in particular was that when some of the guys were inside of the ring and we had some of the guys on the outside of the ring, what I didn't like was they did the fast camera cuts. I was not a fan of that because there were several times where I wanted to get into something that was happening and I couldn't because they were doing the fast camera cuts and I didn't like that. And it was very noticeable in the beginning during this match. So that kind of took me out of it a little bit. There was a moment where Sami Callihan wrapped Dolph Gallows' ankles in a chain. I felt that I would have enjoyed that a little bit more had they not been doing the fast camera cuts throughout this match. But I definitely enjoyed it nonetheless. We actually have a super chat from Matt Reichel. Thank you so much to Matt, by the way, who I got to meet. Both Sean and I got to meet at AEW Double or Nothing, as you can tell by his default there. He says, the five-way looks to be setting up the King of the Mountain for Slammiversary. Love the HD of the new iMac. Thank you so much, Matt. I was going to say Max for some reason. I don't know why. All right. Thank you so much, Matt. We have another super chat from Dan V900 who says, Impact can't in good conscience main event Slammiversary with Sami Callihan. With fans back, he's not the guy. And a triple threat isn't good either. Do it with Josh Alexander or someone else. See, here's the thing about Sami Callihan, and I'm going to go ahead and talk about it now because I know a lot of people aren't necessarily keen on seeing Sami Callihan versus Kenny Omega. But here's the thing, though, is that Sami Callihan has had really good matches with Eddie Edwards, with Trey Miguel, with Rich Swann, with Penta, and they've all been very different matches. And I actually think that if we are to have, Sami Callihan versus Kenny Omega at Slammiversary, obviously with the way the show ended today, we're not completely 100% positive as we were coming into this, heading into the show. But given the fact that Sami Callihan does have these very good matches with some of the guys that I just named, I really do think that he and Kenny Omega would not necessarily have like this technical masterpiece of a match. They wouldn't necessarily have that type of match, but I still think that they would have a pretty good match, and it would be something totally different from the normal type of matches that we're used to seeing Kenny Omega pull off. So I got to say that as much as other people might not want to see Sami Callihan versus Kenny Omega, I like the idea. I'm a fan, and I would totally dig it 100%. So thank you so much to Dan V900 for sending in this super chat. Okay, guys, so we're going to go ahead. Oh, BTW. I didn't even tell you guys how this match actually ended. All right, so Good Brothers do the Magic Killer onto Dreamer on a table, which that was a pretty good spot. I really did like that. Sammy ends up hitting them both with a baseball bat, and that is how he ends up getting the win. And obviously with Sami Callihan, most likely, as of this point in time, from this period of the show that we're on, you know, is heading into this match with either Kenny Omega or Moose. Obviously, he has to pick up the win. He cannot afford to be on the losing side or to be getting pinned whatsoever. So again, enjoyed this match. It could have been better, but it was what it was. All right, you guys, we're going to go ahead and move on. But before I do move on, friendly reminder that if you guys want to get your comment, your question, or your statement read on the stream, you can go ahead and send in a super chat. Those definitely help out the show and keep us going and also keep the coverage alive here for these Impact post shows on the Impact Plus app. All right, so let's talk about this next match, because this next match, I was completely and totally a fan of. I love this match so much more than I originally kind of expected to be honest. So we had Joe Doering versus Kojima. And a fun fact here, I posted this on Twitter because I thought that this was pretty interesting. This is the first time in Impact history that we had two former All Japan Triple Crown champions face each other on Impact Wrestling. So I thought that was pretty cool. So obviously heading into this match, I'm thinking, all right, this definitely has to be a showcase match for Joe Doering. That is what I'm expecting out of this match. And a friendly reminder that the last time we saw Kojima versus Doering, Kojima defeated Joe Doering to successfully defending his All Japan Triple Crown Championship. So I do like the history behind this actual match, even though that it was such a long time ago. It was pretty cool to have that and also have that be mentioned on commentary over and over. So that was really great. But from the start, Doering is working the arm of Kojima to essentially avoid Kojima's lariat. So really smart on his part to actually go ahead and, you know, have this game plan set in place. But here's the thing, though, that I specifically like about Doering. So what I like about him is that he works at a slower pace. And that's obviously like that's the style that he's going to work at a slower pace. But he does everything with a purpose, and not just that. So he has a plan. He has a purpose. But the way that he wrestles and the way that he does things and everything that he does it in a way where he uses all of his power and all of his impact into each and every single move that he does. Essentially, he doesn't work like your normal WWE big man style. Like, he doesn't. He uses all of his weight and everything that he does. And a lot of guys don't do that. So it's almost like every time he throws a punch or anything like that, it's like you're being hit by like with a sandbag or something. So I love that. I love that aspect. We saw Kojima literally hit him with like a rapid fire of like several chops to the chest. That was an awesome moment. But the ending, we see Doering hit him with a Death Valley driver, and he holds on to him. So he doesn't let him go after he hits the Death Valley driver. He holds on to him and then hits him with a lariat and then does a spinning power bomb for the actual win. So I love the sequence of events that led to the finish. I thought the finish was awesome. I thought the match was awesome. This was definitely, I think this was probably my second favorite match of the night. It was my favorite up until this point, but obviously it was just the second match at this point, but definitely up there in one of the matches of the night for sure. We actually have another super chat. Thank you so much to the intangible one, Ryan B. Bad 215, who says, I have higher hopes for Sammy versus Omega. I have higher hopes for a Sammy versus Omega match than I did for the main event tonight. Sammy could be like another Mox type guy for Omega to beat. Yeah, and you know, I really did think that this match with Kenny Omega versus Moose, I thought I was going to be a bigger fan of it. I really was. And unfortunately, I just did not feel that way whatsoever. And so thank you so much to the intangible one, Ryan B. Bad, for sending in this super chat. Alrighty, guys, so let's go ahead and move on. So after this, we had a really, really fun match, and this is always how it is with the X Division. You have your number one contenders X Division match. Now, I know that a lot of people are probably not a big fan of how this actually ended, how the match actually ended, but I still thought, I felt differently, and let me jump into it. So we have Ace Austin versus Petey Williams versus Rohit Raju versus Trey Miguel versus Chris Bay, and they are all trying to get their match with Josh Alexander. So looking at the options of the guys that we see in this match, right off the bat, I want Chris Bay to win. I want Chris Bay to win because I feel that the last time that he was champion, I almost feel like it got cut too short, and I don't necessarily think that they actually I don't think that they really got the full Chris Bay as X Division champion that they could get. They didn't scratch the surface with him as a champion there. So I do think that there's a lot. I would like to see Chris Bay essentially be the guy to get this opportunity. We just saw Rohit, you know, recently Rohit Raju, obviously he had his title reign. So we already saw that. Petey Williams is fantastic, but we kind of already know what he can do. And also, I do think that, you know, having Chris Bay actually win this match would mean a lot more than if it was Petey Williams. So that's kind of how I felt heading into this match. We actually have a super chat. This one is from Steve Engblom. I hope I didn't mess up your last name, Steve. He says, I stopped watching AEW because of finishes like that. I don't blame you. If it's something that can be so irritating where you're like, okay, this is stopping me from enjoying the product, then it is what it is. And obviously we've been complaining about that. We've been complaining about that more so even on the WWE end, because nobody likes the DQs and all of that, the interferences. I mean, that's been like constant conversation. And you know, AEW also does a lot of like the run-ins. They do a lot of the post-match melees. They do a lot of that too. So it does sort of get a little irritating. However, I do think that sometimes if it's not overused in a company and it's not overly done all the time, I could let it slide. So that is, I think, why I kind of let it slide here with Impact Wrestling. So I kind of let it slide with the finish here. But thank you so much to Steve for sending in this super chat. Okay, so anyways, let's get into this match, because seriously, guys, I mean, what do you expect from all of these talents? And you know what? I'm going to start off by saying this. So when it comes down, like, I'm thinking to myself, man, it is crazy. It is crazy how much all of these guys are drastically improving. Like, these are already talents that are already good, are already solid in the ring. But I swear, each and every single time, they just continue and continue to get better. And that was one of the obvious things here, is that not only does Impact Wrestling have like these great veterans that, you know, the young guys can work with, but a lot of the young guys, you know, they have a lot of different versatility in their matches. And we definitely are seeing that. And then also, like, they're getting TV time. They're just getting exposure, and they're just growing and growing as talent. It was something that was just so noticeable tonight. And I feel like every time I do these post shows, it's something that I have to say, but because it's true, like, they really are doing a great job at growing their talent. And yeah, they don't have like a lot of, like, you know, big star names on their show, but I feel like I feel like even though they don't have that, it's still okay, because you're seeing like all of these other guys, and you know, they're presenting so many different types of matches and so many different styles, that personally, that's what makes these shows enjoyable. And if you watched Against All Odds, like if you're here watching the post show and you're like, I just want to know what happened on the actual show, or you actually watched Against All Odds, it was such an easy show to watch. I didn't feel like I struggled at any point. Each match brought something different. So it was a very, very like easy way to spend spend an afternoon watching wrestling. So anyway, so we have a lot of great moments during this match. Obviously, Ace Austin and Chris Bay, they go at it. You just see the athleticism between them. It's absolutely phenomenal. We see Trey Miguel does an awesome tope con hero onto all of the guys. And this is great because not only does he land properly, he lands properly on his feet, but all the guys actually catch him. So that looked really good. There was a moment where Trey Miguel has Ace Austin in a leg lock. Petey has Bay in a sharpshooter. And then Trey and Petey at the exact same time are punching each other. I thought that was a great moment. Rohit Raju and Trey Miguel going at it was a lot of fun to watch them work together. And I felt the exact same way with Petey and Ace Austin. Petey hits the top rope destroyer on Ace Austin. That was pretty awesome too. And then after this is when we saw essentially what people weren't a fan of, which was Madman Fulton appear and essentially kind of ruin this match here because they tried to get him out. They didn't want Madman Fulton. They tried to take him out so that he wouldn't be part of this match or that he wouldn't interfere. But I gotta say, even though I wasn't a fan of like this essentially being like a no contest in the end, I liked the fact that Madman Fulton came out and he looked like a freaking monster, okay? So here we go. He literally, all four guys tried to take Madman Fulton down and out, but instead, so they're all on him. So at the exact same time, he gets he power bombs Chris Bay. He choke slams both Petey and Rohit and power slams Trey Miguel all at the exact same time. And this was I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, if you're going to end it in a no contest, I mean, I guess you might as well do it this way because I actually thought that that was a pretty good ending. I mean, not the best ending, but I thought that the addition of Madman Fulton doing that spot was really cool. All right, guys. So what did you guys think? Go ahead and send in your thoughts. Once again, if you do send in any super chats, I thank you so much for them. If you want to get your comment, your question, or your statement read on the stream, the best way to do so is by sending in a super chat. Also, for those of you who do not know yet, and I'm sure you guys do, Fightful Select has officially surpassed 2,000 subscribers, guys. 2,000. Surpassed it. If you have not subscribed yet to FightfulSelect.com, I have no idea what you're waiting for. If you want to get your wrestling news fast and straight to your inbox and some of the best scoops that Sean Ross Sapp has been bringing out, seriously, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Join the over 2,000 very happy people on FightfulSelect.com. All righty, guys, we're going to go ahead and move on to, okay, yes, I'm thinking about this, guys, and this is it. This is my favorite match of the night, okay? I'm pretty positive. Hold on. I'm going to scroll through the rest of the show. Okay, yes, I'm fully confident in my choice here. The fourth match of the night saw W. Morrissey versus Rich Swann. And I'm just going to say it right now. This was not only my favorite match of the night, but I think it is officially time that I put it out there into the universe that Rich Swann is literally one of my favorite current wrestlers, period, okay? Favorite current wrestlers, period, with Rich Swann, because every time Rich Swann goes out there, he seriously has some of the best matches, and I feel like I haven't given enough love or shout out to Rich Swann because he really is great with no matter who he's in the ring with, and this match with W. Morrissey was fantastic. I thought it was probably one of the best matches that I had seen in a while, all across the board. As you guys know, I cover, you know, the WWE stuff. I cover the AEW stuff. And, you know, I do these Impact monthly shows. But honestly, I think in recent time, I'm going to say that W. Morrissey versus Rich Swann was one of my favorite matches across the board. All right. So, okay, this was your perfect big guy, little guy match, all right? Your David versus Goliath type of match that are just so easy. If, you know, they're done right, they're very fun, very enjoyable. And so, first and foremost, I have no idea how, but W. Morrissey gets bigger by the second. By the second, this guy is a freaking beast. Like, every time I see him, it takes me a step back where I'm like, how the hell did this guy get so freaking huge? I mean, it's insane. Anyway, so right off the bat, he tosses Swann out of the ring like a rag doll. Swann tries everything to take him down, punches him, kicks him, even bites him and cannot take him him down. He tries to cross body Morrissey, but instead Morrissey gets him with the big boot. Then Swan does an awesome spot, which really, if you think about it, is very, very difficult to do because he literally hits Morrissey with a 450 from the ring apron to the floor. Morrissey was on the floor and Rich Swann hit him with the 450. And the reason why that's harder is because obviously he's not on the ropes. He doesn't have that extra spring in his step to get that 450, but he just does it. And that is like purely all Rich Swann right there and his athleticism, which I thought was phenomenal. So Swan essentially does another 450 after this, but this one is from the rope and he gets a two count. Then he does a middle rope Phoenix splash, but Morrissey just literally picks him up like a baby, like a child, like literally nothing. He picks him up here and, okay. So he, sorry guys, I lost my spot on where I was at here. All right. So he picks him up. So Rich Swann gets him with the Phoenix splash and then Morrissey Morrissey literally grabs him and ends up hitting him with the F5, which I thought was absolutely awesome. Then Swan goes for a springboard, but instead of landing the actual springboard, Morrissey again gets him with the boot and ends up getting them with two power bombs. And then he gets him with another power bomb. And that is how W. Morrissey ends up getting the win. I'm sorry, but this match was awesome. We saw a lot of great spots from Rich Swann. We saw Morrissey counter them with his power, with his strength. It showed both sides. It showed what both guys are good at and brought it all into one. So I was definitely a fan of this here. Alrighty, guys, BTW, friendly reminder, if you guys want to get your comment, your question, your statement, whatever it is, if you guys want to get it read on the show, make sure to send in a super chat. Not only do they help me out, but they also help out Fightful and basically keeps my show on the air. So if you guys want to go ahead and send in a super chat, I will definitely go ahead and read your comments. All right. Alrighty, guys, let's jump into this following match. After this, we had the fifth match of the night was Jordynne Grace versus Tennille Dashwood. And this was another really good match. Honestly, here's the thing about Impact Wrestling too. And I tweeted this out, so I got to reiterate this, but they do not have a big roster, okay? Impact, I mean, I haven't counted how many people they have, but they do not have a big roster by any means. But somehow, some way, they are able to pull out a lot of fresh matchups. And I really, really, really applaud them for that because there was so many fresh matchups on this entire show. This was definitely, they kept it going. Like, they literally kept it going throughout the show. So that was my favorite thing about that. But let's talk about Jordynne Grace versus Tennille Dashwood, because Jordynne Grace, and I don't know if I said this on my last post show for the Impact show. I don't know if I said this last time, but I am blown away by Jordynne Grace. Every time she goes in the ring, I am blown away from her because I feel that she wrestles a style that is so perfect for her, and she could easily disregard that and work the same style that like every other girl or that the majority of women work, but she's working a different style that is more unique to her and what she can do in the ring. And that is what I really like because it kind of makes her stand out so much more. So we see Jordynne Grace hit Tennille with a spinning full Nelson. I liked that moment there. We then see Caleb with a K and Tennille essentially both drag Jordynne Grace's body from the ring to the mat, hits her really hard while the referee was essentially distracted by Rachel Ellering. And obviously Rachel and Jordan's whole like relationships looking like it's falling apart. And that was definitely teased throughout this entire match here. We see Tennille stretch the arms of Jordynne Grace. We see Tennille get her with a tarantula. Jordynne Grace does a running Vader bomb and it looks fantastic. Jordynne then gets her with a rear naked chokehold and she's about to win this match, but Caleb ends up distracting the referee. Tennille then is able to take the advantage on this and she is able to roll up Jordynne to actually get the win here. So Again, they're teasing the breakup here with Jordan and Rachel Ellering. So she does not want Rachel Ellering's help. Rachel Ellering keeps butting in, keeps ruining the matches for her. And that's basically the story that they are telling here. But this was honestly a pretty fun match. This was probably one of my favorite Tennille matches that I've seen in a while. So I got to say, thumbs up on this one here. And all right, guys, I'm going through most of your comments here. Once again, if you guys want to send in a super chat, you guys can. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to watch. Also, friendly reminder, if you guys have not yet subscribed to FightfulWrestling.com, make sure you guys do so. .com. Oh, my gosh. Fightful Wrestling, the YouTube channel. You are here. Make sure you guys are subscribing because we are on the road to 50,000 subscribers, guys. 50,000 YouTube subscribers. We are almost there. So if you haven't subscribed, make sure you guys do so. Alrighty, everyone. So we are going on to the next match here. This one was Fire and Flava versus Susan and Kimberly. Again, another fresh matchup on this show. Big fan of that too. So here's the thing about this one, and I'm going to try to explain this as best as I possibly can. This match was a little sloppy, but not in a bad way. Like not in a way that it's bad. In a way that it didn't take away from the actual match whatsoever. In fact, it actually led to some really funny moments and some really funny spots throughout this match. So even though, like I said, it was a little sloppy, it wasn't sloppy in a bad way. Anytime that we see Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz go at it with Susan, I thought their chemistry was off the charts. I thought anytime that they were in the ring together was when I was really, really into this match here. We see Kimberly hit a swanton on Kira Hogan, and then we see Tasha do a missile dropkick on Kimberly. She then does a frog splash on Susan for the actual win. Also, really quickly, guys, shout out to James Dross. James Dross just became a YouTube member here on Fightful Wrestling. Congratulations. If you become a YouTube member, you get like bonus content exclusive for YouTube members. So thank you so much to James Dross, who just joined in on here. Alrighty, guys. After this, we had the Impact Tag Team titles on the line. We had Violence by Design. God, I cannot talk anymore, guys. So many wrestling shows, that's it. I'm burning down. I'm crashing down. That's it. Send me back to developmental. Violence by Design, we have Cody Deaner and Rhino versus Decay, Crazy Steve, and Black Thaddeus. And this match is pretty hella fun, okay? This wasn't like my favorite match of the night, but it was totally enjoyable. And just holy cow, I cannot keep up with Black Thaddeus. I cannot keep up with him, guys. Every time I was like trying to write down the moves down, I was trying to write down like, oh, this happened. He did this on the match. He did this on the match. And then he did this. I could not keep up. I was like, screw it. I'm not going to write anything down because Black Thaddeus is just kicking ass. So I was like, all right, I'm going to have to come on this post show and essentially get that going. But at the top of this match, we do see Thaddeus get right Rhino to the corner, and he essentially hits them with several uppercuts, spinning kick to the gut. And again, this was really fun. I really enjoyed though seeing Cody Deaner and Crazy Steve go at it. I thought that they had really good chemistry in the ring, so I thought that was really great. And then in the end, we see Violence by Design. Okay, so the finish here, we see Rhino hit Crazy Steve when he's on the top rope. So he bounces off and Cody Deaner is able to hit Crazy Steve with a DDT for the win. So again, good fun match. I was definitely feeling this one for sure. Alrighty, guys, and we are going to go ahead and move on after this. So after this, we had another really awesome match, and I'm going to take forever, but I'm going to really have to put over Deonna Purrazzo in this match here because this was for the Knockouts title, Deonna Purrazzo versus Rosemary. And again, I mentioned at the top of this that they do keep Impact Wrestling very fresh. Like I said, the fresh matchups and all of that. But here's the thing though, when it comes to the women's division, and this is why it's good. So not only do they have different opponents for Deonna Purrazzo, but they have women that are credible enough to actually be these challengers to Deonna Purrazzo, to the point where you can actually say, you know what? There's a possibility that this person may actually have a chance at becoming champion, okay? They actually have enough credit. They've given all of their women enough credibility so that when they challenge Deonna Purrazzo, their champion, not only are they going to deliver an awesome match, but they are going to continue to elevate Deonna Purrazzo as an actual champion. Now, on top of that, one of the things that I do have to put over in this is commentary. Commentary did a really good job at really making sure that they explained everything that Deonna Purrazzo was doing. And by that, I don't mean just calling out the moves or anything like that. By that, I mean that the second that Deonna Purrazzo got in the ring, immediately she started going after Rosemary's arm. And immediately commentary took a note of that and made sure to mention that, because they mentioned the fact that she comes in, Deonna Purrazzo comes in with an actual strategy, okay? She comes in with a strategy and she sticks to it. And that's the thing, is when you're watching Deonna Purrazzo wrestle, I almost feel like you can see the psychology, the story of it all. You can see what Deonna Purrazzo might be thinking and why she's doing the things that she's doing. I feel as a viewer, I am becoming more knowledgeable as I'm watching Deonna Purrazzo put these matches together. And that is honestly the best way that I can explain that. And commentary made sure to really put that over. They did a lot for Deonna Purrazzo during this match. So I have to really give them a shout out for that, because I thought that was really awesome. So Deonna Purrazzo went after Rosemary's arms. When Rosemary tried to do a double arm DDT, she was unable to. She didn't have the strength in her arm to do so. And then Deonna essentially takes off her knee brace at one point. So not only did she already damage the arms of Rosemary, but now she's taking off the knee brace off of Rosemary and essentially exposing her surgically repaired knee. So now it's kind of like a game where now Deonna Purrazzo has different ways in which she can actually beat Rosemary. And so you kind of see this, like you can see like the thought process that was put into this match that actually led to this moment. In the end, we actually see Deonna hit the Gotch pile driver, and that is how she ends up winning the match. So if you are like, again, if you're a fan of like wrestling with psychology, I think you will definitely enjoy Deonna Purrazzo versus Rosemary. And obviously this is not new. This is something that we see in Deonna's matches a lot, but it's definitely something that needs to be talked about. We have another super chat. Thank you so much to Thomas Garner. Thomas says, Deonna already beat Rosemary one-on-one for the title. So with this pay-per-view's name, I think Havoc being at it for Purrazzo to beat both of them would be better. I actually spoke to Havoc recently. I'm going to be posting up a interview with her. The lightning round portion of the interview is going to be going up hopefully tomorrow on my YouTube channel. So that's going to be coming up, and I'll make sure to tweet out the links for that. But that's the thing though. That's the thing, is that you come out here and you're like, oh, like I think Havoc would be good. There are more options for the champion here. She has more options here in challengers. So that's personally what makes me happy when I watch this, having actual challengers for your champion. Thank you so much to Thomas Gardner for sending in the super chat. Alrighty, guys. Let's see. Where are we at after this? All right. So after this match, we're already at the main event. Oh, snap, guys. I talk really fast because, boy, we're just at 35 minutes here. All right. So I'm going to try to get into this match and maybe stretch it out just a little bit more here, guys. Again, if you want to send in any super chats, keep me talking, keep me on the air, send them in, and I will definitely read your comments, your thoughts, your questions, whatever it is. Send them in. Like I said, I was not a fan of this main event. So if you totally disagree with me, this is it. This is the moment where you essentially tell me, hey, Denise, this is why you're wrong. Or unless you agree, then you can definitely tell me that as well. All right. So we have Moose versus Omega, and this is taking place in Daly's Place, not over in Nashville. We have Tony Schiavone, Scott D'Amore, and Don Callis on commentary. Again, this is for the Impact World Championship. And I'll start off again by reiterating the fact that I was not a fan of this match. I thought this match was going to be so much better. And here's the thing is that I loved the beginning. I hated the middle. And then the ending was okay. Like the finish. Okay. So the finish itself was like, ugh, but everything leading up to the finish was good. It was mainly just the middle portion of this match where I found myself feeling like this match was dragging. I started yawning a lot and I was like, oh no. Once I start yawning, that's it. I'm no longer interested in this. But anyways, the opening was pretty good. I loved the beginning portion of this match. So we saw Moose essentially picking up Kenny, literally like he's a child while Kenny is trying to choke him. So I did think that that was pretty hilarious. So they were really off to a good start here. We see Kenny do a Terminator dive to Moose. We see Kenny chop Moose and it does nothing. We see Moose do a standing moonsault and it really trips me out because when you look at Moose and he does a standing moonsault, it's bound to be really impressive for a guy his size. And then it's after this that I thought the match really started to drag. At this point, the midpoint of this match, I really started to feel tired. I thought the match got really boring and I thought they were stretching it out really for no reason. I think at this point, they sort of lost the flow of the match and it kind of just ended up being, moves here and there, but no real flow in this match. At least that's how I felt during the midpoint of this. Things start picking up once we see Kenny hit Moose with two V triggers. He gets a two count. Moose does the Spanish fly on Kenny. And then after this is when we see the Young Bucks run in and they end up super kicking Moose. So Kenny is able to get the one winged angel on Moose. And that is how he essentially gets the win here. So that is your match. But then afterwards, post-match, we see Sami Callihan come out. And here's the thing is that they really do need to address the fact that Sami Callihan, who was obviously in the opening match in Nashville, is then now in the main event for Jacksonville. However, and obviously, guys, this is storyline-wise, they got to explain how that happened. Storyline-wise, they got to tell us how on earth did Sami Callihan make it there to Jacksonville from Nashville? But I did check a Google search. It takes 2 hours and 7 minutes from Nashville to Florida. So they could explain that. Maybe he got a jet. Who knows? Someone points and makes a joke, and I was going to make this joke on Twitter too. Kid Campbell says, Jen Me is back. Jen Me is back on Impact. Exactly. So Sami Callihan hits the Bucks with the bat. He tries to get Kenny Omega with the bat and the chair, similar to the way that he did with Eddie Edwards. And so then Don Callis essentially fires him. Don Callis, who his storyline is obviously still a VP on Impact. And so he is able, has the authority, has the power to essentially fire him. So what does that mean for their match that's supposed to be happening at Slammiversary? I don't know. Now that he's been fired, I have no idea what that means now. Are we still going to be getting Kenny Omega versus Sami Callihan? I don't know. So they're going to have to explain that, obviously, on Impact. They're going to have to explain how Sami Callihan got to Jacksonville and what on earth is going to happen now that Don Callis fired him. So that was the ending of Slammiversary. Again, if you guys want to send in your thoughts on the main event, on the actual show, or anything that I didn't touch on, you can go ahead and send in a super chat. But other than that, guys, that was the show. Again, all of these Impact Wrestling pay-per-view shows on the Impact Plus, they're really, really easy to watch. If you're just like, I just want to watch some good wrestling, if you just want to watch like a different styles of wrestling, I think that it's really fun to check out these Impact shows. They're always a really good time. Other than that, guys, tomorrow I will be back on with Sean Ross Sapp. We are going to be talking about NXT TakeOver In Your House. That's going to be happening tomorrow. So I will be back tomorrow with Sean. And then Monday, we will be back to talk about Monday Night Raw. You guys all know how that goes down. And then the next Impact show that I will be on here talking about with Sean as well, and I believe Steven Jensen as well, will be Slammiversary on July 17th. team. So lots of wrestling podcasts coming your way. We actually have a super chat I'm going to read. This is going to be the last super chat I read for the day. This one is from Double Shot Jake, who says, Sammy to AEW, maybe. Oh, that would be interesting. That would actually be interesting. Hey, he's been fired. Maybe that'll be something. Who knows? Thank you so much to Double Shot Jake for sending in this super chat. Alrighty, guys, there you go. That is the show. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, BTW, if you have never seen my streams before and you're like new to me or whatever, make sure to follow me on Twitter or on Instagram at underscore Denise Salcedo. I hope you guys had a good time. If you enjoyed my post show, leave a nice comment. Give this video a thumbs up. You know, tweet Sean, tweet Jimmy Van, tweet at Fightful. Tell them that you like the show. Tweet them, spread the word, and I'll see you guys back here tomorrow for NXT TakeOver In Your House. Until next time, I'm Denise Salcedo. Love you all. Have a great night, everybody. Take care.